All right, everybody, welcome to another episode. Sorry, I was checking around. Thought I saw something flying around the room here. Excuse me. All right, so we should be getting our guests popping on in a few, but for those joining us now, I thought I would come on and just start off really quick with an introduction. All right, so thank you all who are joining us today. For those who have or haven't, either way, we do this on a regular basis. Usually Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. California time, so wherever you guys are at. It looks like we're getting our guests set in a second, so I will buzz them in a minute. And we do all sorts of nerd and whatnot topics. Today, we're going to do something near and dear to my heart, and you're going to recognize this guy in a minute. So without further ado, let us buzz him in. 3, 2, and 1. Can you hear me, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
Awesome. I guess you probably recognize him from the Professor Pokemon Professor Network. We got Adam all the way from the other side of the country. So thank you so much for the time.
I'm on the East Coast.
By the way, I've been following the card pulls all the time. I'm like so jealous of half of the stuff you have in your deck now. I want that. So I'm trying to catch up. I'm buying as many as I can within reason of, you know, not wasting too much money.
See, if you really want the sparkly ones, you can go to tcgplayer.com. They have like a really good price because it's like a marketplace. So they have like the best.
I remember you telling me about that. Yeah.
Best prices. Yeah.
I finally did get a couple of Sword and Shield though. So I got some, I think I got Score Bunny and a couple other guys. So I got some new guys in my deck. So I'm kind of stoked about that at least. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So that'd be fun. So you guys obviously know this guy and his buddies from their podcast they do. They run the anime, they do the cards, they do all that fun stuff. So that's why we have him back, because that's what we're doing today. As he knows well, and everybody who knows me well, Pokemon is like, I'm obsessed. After this, I'm probably going to start doing this.
If you're not, that's kind of, it's okay to not be obsessed, but if you like it, you pretty much have a...
Let's be real. If you're not into it, where the hell have you been all this time? I mean, you know, it's I know parents that are playing the game, so that tells you something.
My mom plays.
There you go. My fiance's dad, he plays. He's always texting us going, where are you finding, we're always swapping tips back and forth because he's like, oh, I found this over here. Just go this way. So after this, I'm going to start the special research that just popped up today. So I'm super
definitely
excited.
Yeah. I'm already on, I'm past the first part. It's super easy, but second part is a struggle. It's actually 8 hours, 6 to 7.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
So, I said raid hour is 6 to 7. So like right now it's 5 in my time.
We'll try.
I don't know if I'll be able to get out.
Feel free to raid while you're on if you have to. You know, don't mind me. I'm happy if you raid.
Oh, I can't. I can't. There's no gyms around me at all. Yeah.
And I'm not a remote.
I'm rural.
Rural. It's okay. I won't hold that against you. All right. So let's dive in then so we can get you off onto your raid hour as soon as we can. So we're going to go over one of the OG legendaries from Gen 2. Pretty awesome. And we're going to go into more detail because a lot of my followers are asking to talk about some of the game tactics as well. So hopefully you got some info on that because I know you've been playing all sorts of games for a while now. All right. So we're going to go over Ho-Oh, which is like the Phoenix Force, literally. Also the counterpart to Lugia, which is also a pretty kick-ass legendary as well, introduced to us in Gen 2. And I learned just recently again, he's also the master of the legendary beasts in the games and the anime. So he's the guy that basically is in charge of the things we don't want to see ever again in Pokemon Go. Just putting that out there.
This is true. Well, they're shiny now, so...
There you go. If it's shiny, I'm okay.
Some want, you know?
Okay, so it's a fire flying type. Again, flying not the coolest, but fire pretty damn good in all the games, I believe. And the first time we got to see him, at least growing up, was in that episode when Ash is walking through the field. He looks up in the sky, and there is the Ho-Oh flying by, but we didn't know who it was.
Like, I wonder what that is.
Exactly. We're just like, what the hell was that?
It was nice that in the first episode to actually see a Pokemon from the second gen, you know, before, you know, it was like the biggest cliffhanger Except an entire series.
I don't think they've done it since then. I think it's the only time I remember seeing a Pokemon from a generation later show up in an early generation, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, aside from like Meryl and Togepi and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Because
those are like those are the OG like spoilers.
The OG spoil. Okay, so obviously that was the first time we saw him. So generally speaking, this guy resembles probably any brightly colored bird out there. Most representations describe him similar to like a peacock because of the bright colors. It's got a lot of the headpieces and stuff like that. But really, it all comes back to the mythological creature that we all know and love as the phoenix. It also, you know, helps that this guy can resurrect itself. And actually, one of his abilities is, I believe it's called Resurrector or something of that matter.
Yeah. Correct? Yep.
So this guy literally was taken right out of the pages of, I think the phoenix is in almost any culture, as far as I know. I think China has one. South America has one, and I believe Europe has a couple. So yes, this guy really was taken out of every culture out there, right? What was it to you, biologically, like physically looking at it, that made it so unique compared to other Pokemon?
When I first saw it, it was gold. Yeah. That was the biggest takeaway. Okay. You know, the sparkles came behind it, and you know, now, you know, the Pokedex entry says like, you know, rainbow colors kind of fly behind it. And it's like, all right, I'm down with that. That's what originally made me like it so much. But the representation of it being a phoenix is like close to my heart, because my like username pretty much on everything, like personally, is like Phoenix Back for Fire.
Oh, there you go.
Because I like phoenixes so much, yeah.
So, okay, so in that case then, when they gave him the move of resurrection, was that kind of a little too on the nose, or do you think it was perfectly done for Nintendo to do that?
Perfectly done. And then they also have the held item, like Sacred Ash, which can be like a nod to like it dying in mid-flight.
and the fact that you bring the back... Ashes win. Exactly, you could bring back other legendary Pokemon, so, you know.
Yes, yep.
How cool is that? Okay, so as we mentioned, the first time we saw him was in, actually, I guess it was the first episode, Pokemon I Choose You, and you got to see him fly over. It was kind of a hint, I think, to maybe Ash Ketchum's journey as to what he's about to kind of intake on this thing. I feel like it was drawn in there purposefully to get the viewer to be like, this is going to be something that we're not expecting. And I think it was. I mean, you watched the cartoon, right? So I think really describes Ash Ketchum's journey, right?
Exactly, yeah.
All right, so after we saw him in there, we did see Ho-Oh appear in a couple of the movies, Jirachi Wishmaker, Lucario and the Mystery of Mew, and The Rise of Darkrai. So is there a reason that other than that one episode, Ho-Oh doesn't really show up in the show and really only shows up in the feature films?
Well, I guess like the lore behind Ho-Oh is that like it just continually flies. So it's in the sky. It's probably flown by multiple times. It was just low enough for Ash to see it on a clear day.
it's always there. We just can't, you know.
Exactly.
Naked eye can't see it, so you know. That's fair. I think stuff like Lugia too. Lugia was only in one episode and then really showed up in more of the movies, I believe.
Yeah, they had the spotlight in the 2000. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, okay, so other than that, of course, the manga, which I'm getting back into, I actually just ordered a couple more issues of it to go over for one of these episodes that we're going to do. Ho-Oh showed up in a couple of them, but surprisingly, it wasn't as diverse as the regular Pokemon. So, for instance, I went over Charizard one day, and Charizard was in, like, all the manga. Ho-Oh was specifically in a few issues. So, again, is it kind of like the fact that it's a legend? They don't want to overuse him. They want to kind of make it special. Is that why he's so specifically used?
Yes, Yeah, and because he is more of like the controller of the three beasts, legendary beasts, so it's like those you should see more often, and Ho a little bit less. They wanted to make him super powerful, so.
And in order to do that, you don't want
to. Yeah, that's how they show his powers, through like controlling other legendaries.
Okay, that's perfectly fair. I agree. I think in order to make it special, you have to make it, you can't overuse it too much. Now, the only exception I think would be like Pikachu, because he's with Ash the entire time, but yes. We still love Pikachu. That's the one Pokemon that I think gets away with it, but they wrote it in a way where you're kind of used to it by now. You're like, okay, fine. He's on his shoulder. He's always there.
Whatever. It's kind of like the Meowth with Team Rocket.
They're perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So it's like Meowth and Pikachu, you might love them, you might hate them, but you're used to them being there because that's like the main characters of the show. As you can tell, I got my Eeveelution shirt on right here. So, you know.
I'm just like, I forgot my Pokemon shirt.
And actually, that's the other one too. Eevee's one of those ones too that you either love or hate Eevee, but Eevee's always there because, like, you know, it's Eevee. It's cute. It's like a dog or a cat.
Yeah, it's like I'm indifferent. You know, Eevee is cute. You know, it's evolutions. You know, everybody's wanting like a dragon one, you know, and other different types. But it's like, I was okay with the three. But
you were fine with the original,
right? I'm gonna get so much hate. No. I like Eevee and all this.
And all letters to it.
But not, it's not like super exciting for me. I don't know why.
It's fair. It's, I mean, you know, and kind of, cause we're going to go into in the card game and the figures, it's the same type of thing. You want to have one in your deck, a Ho-Oh, but at the same time, it's kind of super powered, right? So you kind of have to use it with caution. Because you don't want to, like, I don't know, you don't want to beat the game so quickly. You want to kind of, like, savor the moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you want me to talk about, like, the card game? And that?
Yeah, I mean, well, as far as, I mean, because I know you know the cards well. So as far as
the
card
game, so there's been iterations of Ho-Oh in the card game, tons of them. Notably, you know, like, ones that use, you know, all of the energies. There's ones, there's, like, a whole EX that, you know, the multiple energies you have on it, the more damage output it has. There's one that came out semi-recent. I think it's in this format. It just has like three energy attack. The more different types of energies attached, it does more. Just emphasis on the multiple types that it can use. There's also a Ho-Oh like legendary card. So it's literally two halves. And you put them together to play it down. And that card looks absolutely stunning when put together.
Nice. I don't have that one. I need that one. I got to find that one.
No, I know. It's like I've had all these old cards. And it's like I'm just recently like going through my stuff just trying to see what I have. And it's a lot of the stuff I know I either sold or traded off. So I'm very upset with myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like looking at the price of Mew Star, the shiny Mew.
Right.
That is like hundreds of dollars. The Pop Series Espeon, that's shiny. That is so expensive. And it's just like a rare card from a league set. And it's like I had multiple of those and I know I just traded them off.
All I can say is that pause between how much it costs explains it all. You don't even have to like explain. Yeah. You just like that face was like, okay, I get it. It's like five paychecks in a year to get your
Yep. And here I am like, can I get rid of now? No. Like I have a Charizard that I got gifted to me. It was just kind of like in a box of cards, and it has a fire red leaf green Charizard. And that card in general is worth a lot, but it's in played condition, so it's like, you know, I could probably get $60 for it, but I don't know. Like having the actual card is more valuable to me than getting rid of it.
No, I agree. Definitely. I mean, so
if I ever got my hands on a Ho-Oh, like the legendary one with the two pieces, I would keep that like forever. And then same thing with, there's ones from Call of Legends that has it as a shiny. So the whole border is like sparkly, nothing like significant, like a EX or GX, but it's just shiny and it's super cool. And then they redid it in Shining Legends, where it was a prepackaged, you know, promo, which looks amazing, by the way. Like the background, the art, just they really make Ho-Oh out to be this like majestic, elegant, beautiful Phoenix bird. You know, it. They do a good job every time.
Oh, they do. Honestly, the amount of different versions of the cards they make of the same Pokemon, whoever draws these Pokemon, it's like even the most simple drawings are amazing. Yep. Because it's like, I think, what was it? I think it was Slakoth. I have three different pictures of him, and each one is almost like a brand new Pokemon because they draw it in such a different way that it's, mm-hmm. It's amazing. So I totally agree.
But they always draw him like, you know, like, hey guys.
Either that or he just like passed out in a tree, like, I'm hungover. I just want
to. Yep.
All right. So the other game that he was in that I remember playing a little bit was Super Smash Brothers. That was a big game back in the 90s. And Ho-Oh was actually one of the players you can have.
It came out of one of the Pokeballs.
It came out of one of the Pokeballs, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, was there really an appeal, or is this kind of like a cult thing? Like, nobody really cares now. It was really cool at the time, or is it still cool? Like, if you were to go play it again.
I think it's still cool.
Yeah?
Like the anticipation and, like, the storyline based on it is awesome. You know, with the two towers, the gold and the tin, or...
It's funny, after saying it, I'm reading it in here. There's a whole like story that goes with it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's like two different Japan towers. There's one that's tin and there's one that's bronze, but representing gold and silver essentially.
Okay, and speaking of that one, this guy's been in so many Pokédexes now. Which was your favorite entry, if you can remember? Was it like his original? Because he's been through gold and silver, he's been an emerald, he's been in fire.
Whichever one says he stays in the sky and flies and just doesn't stop.
That would be, let me see, it's right in front of me here. Oh, that would be, hold on, I just saw it, where'd it go? I think it's either fire red or heart gold. Legend claims heart gold,
that the Pokemon
flies continuously. So gold would be your favorite.
Yeah. Okay.
It's pretty cool. I don't know who writes these. Some of them are kind of weird. Like there's some Pokemon Pokédex entries that are like, what the hell? But
that's scary. There's some like terrifying ghost types, and you're like, they eat you in your sleep. Like what?
Oh, I on my Instagram account for Alternate Universe, I just put up the fact about Lavender Town. How like everybody goes to bury dead Pokemon there, and then like all the dead Pokemon come up from the grave. And they like haunt the people in Lavender Town. I was like, that is not what a child should be reading. Like, that is not appropriate.
Right? You're hanging out in that town. You're like, this is a creepy music. Like, come on.
Like the fact that somebody wrote that into the game, like dead Pokemon rise from the grave. Why? Like, really?
Pokemon faint. They black out or they white out.
So
all I can think of is like a whiteout pen, just woo. Let's get rid of that. I can still read it.
Yeah, I know, right? You can hold it up to the light. You're like, I can still see the outline in the thing. My Pikachu's still there. Moving on to the base stats and stuff like that, it's fairly good, generally speaking. It looks like its HP is 106, its attack is 130, and its defense is 90. Is that pretty safe to say one of the better type of Pokemon as far as... attack?
Yeah. And as far as flying type goes, he's got like a wide range of moves that he can learn. So
now something like Charizard, which usually has an overpowered moveset, is this equal to that, or is it kind of two different scenarios?
He's got like Dragon that works with him too, so it's a little bit of a different scenario. But Ho is like main weakness is like Lightning.
So basically Pikachu, but
yeah. So Pikachu uses Thundershock, the lowest damage output, and one shots it.
And oh,
legendary Pokemon.
Okay, so speaking of effectiveness, it looks like it's damaged normally by almost all of them. Normal, ghost, dragon, flying, psychic, dark, poison, and ice. That's pretty severe for a legendary Pokemon, right?
Yeah, flying types usually get a bad rap.
So is it, so even though it's a legendary, because it's flying, it kind of is the bum rap, right? It kind of, it's screwed.
Yeah, because there's, because you, I mean, you've been playing, you know, since the start, and you've got Articuno, Zapdos, Moltres, and it's like all of them are flying. So you're used to battling them. You know what's good against them.
Right. That just, it just seems weird that, you know, it could be damaged by so many, and yet it's a legendary Pokemon. Like,
yeah, I see it a lot in Pokemon Go. You're just like, oh, well, this, you know, certain Pokemon have like super extra effectiveness, like times two, and then
it's, right.
And you've got, you know, that are just, you know, super effective, and then you've got stuff that just does normal base damage, and it's, and they just gave it, I think, Earthquake in the latest like research round.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
If you completed that, so, you know, like that's a huge move for, you know, a flying type.
Okay, so I guess it makes sense then. So it's weak to by itself, rock, water, and electric. And it's immune to ground type, which always makes me laugh because it's like it's weak to rock, but it's immune to ground. It's the same freaking thing. And yet somehow, if you have a Rhydon, you're okay. But if you use an Onix, you're screwed. Like, what? You know, like, what?
All I can think of is like Stone Edge, the rock coming out of the ground, like. It's in the sky. You can't hit it. You can't hit it.
I love in the raid battles when, like, you know, you use Stone Edge and it's like, it's effective. And I'm like, the thing's not even touching the ground. And yet it's like shooting up to how long, like why?
Like rock throw would be more appropriate.
Exactly. Oh my God. All right. So lastly, it's resistant to fighting, fire, bug, grass, steel, and fairy. So I guess in a way, even though it's damaged by the other ones, I guess the what it's resistant to is a pretty common one. So there's a lot of Pokemon you can't use that wouldn't really do any damage. So I guess it kind of evens out a little bit in the long run. Because again, fighting fire, bug, and grass are pretty prevalent everywhere. So that takes out a quarter of your Pokemon that won't really do anything to a Ho-Oh.
If he brought a bug to the match, I mean, he's flying type, so he'll just roast it, literally.
Or what's the meme where it's like it was a bird Pokemon and he just like ate the Caterpie and that's how he killed him? Like that was like it was a bird eating a bug and that was it.
Yeah.
Like somebody made a meme. I was like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like if a Spearow came down and ate Caterpie, then he'd be dead. Like that would, you know.
Yeah. Because I believe in that first episode they were eating like worms.
Yeah, which never made sense because I was like, is it eating like a Weedle or like is it just eating a worm? Like I don't know what it's eating. It's just eating.
There's a lot of differences. There's like the crew was eating like lobster dinner one day, and I'm like, but what about corfish? Is it a corfish?
Somebody made the worst video. It was rating Pokemon on how they would taste, and it was like they went on all the animals that would be food for people. And I was like, really? Just you, please. Like, I didn't want to ruin my childhood. I did not want to ruin my childhood.
I'll have to check it out, though.
But like, it was like, there's like a picture of Tauros on it and a picture of like Jigglypuff. And I'm like, why would you want to eat these things? Like, they're Pokemon. Like, no.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, if they were in the real world, you know, Detective Pikachu kind of like gave us that little sense of feel. I can understand it. We'd be drinking Miltank, you know what I mean? We'd be drinking Miltank milk. Oh, look at my glass of Moo Moo milk. Oh, I just healed a couple HP.
all the milk cartons would have Miltank on it. That'd be the logo of the milk product. It would just be like Miltank.
Exactly. And there would only be one brand, Moo Moo milk.
Yeah, exactly. That was it. Just okay, so moving on to the moves. You brought it up about how in Pokemon Go we got Earthquake, but it looks like it's actually had some fairly good moves. Mainly, in my opinion, Sacred Fire, Brave Bird, Fire Blast. Those are some of the better ones. Again, a lot of them are generic flying type moves, so they're not great. But when you played in that generation, it was pretty badass for the time, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Sacred Fire was like that exclusive move to Ho-Oh. Well, it's, you know, signature move, if you will.
Right. And then as time went on and you had the right TMs, you can learn stuff like Flamethrower, Fire Blast, Aerial Ace. So Ho-Oh eventually got some better moves if you had the right TMs to use for the games, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. If you had to pick a move that you think might be too good or too bad, what do you think was the better move that you used for yours?
For mine?
Like when you played Ho-Oh, what do you, if you had to pick one?
You know, I'm always a fan of its, you know, exclusive moves. So the Sacred Fire.
So Sacred Fire. Okay.
Yeah. It's like having that move that no other Pokemon knows, especially like when you were playing through Heart Gold, Soul Silver or Gold or Silver. And like having Ho-Oh and being able to use that move and just, you know, I don't know. It's a different feeling.
All right, that's fair. So since we did bring up Pokemon Go and it's still a popular game, we're just going to go over the stats really quick. So base stamina for a Pokemon Go Ho-Oh is 214. Base attack is 239 and base defense is 244. So pretty good. I mean, it is legendary. Yeah. Pokemon Go made sure that it had, you know, a strong set. Of course, to walk this thing, it takes you 20 kilometers to get one damn candy. So, you know, you got to get your running shoes on and go take a hike down the Grand Canyon to go freaking like.
Yeah, that's like you have to get all the way to 50 kilometers to get two candies. That's reasonable, right? I mean, it's you know, you're walking with it. It's really like flying above you and you can't even see it. So you just have to. That's my favorite part.
Physics.
Is when you put them as your buddies, just like seeing them up and like, especially like flying types, you just see them like, you're like, I literally, you zoom all the way out. You're like, oh, it's that high compared to how like low to the ground I am. All you can see is this little tiny shadow.
Somebody screenshotted, I think it was like they had a Palkia out, whatever. And it was just like this giganto thing. And the guy's like avatar was this big and the Palkia was like up to here. And I'm like, would you be waving to it? Like from, like, it's like Godzilla. You're like,
I had that happen with my Delibird, but it was reversed. So like my Delibird was so tiny and I'm like, where is it? You know? And it's like, you can see that it's like a tiny little Delibird just like kind of walking next to you. And I'm just like, I'm like trying to tap it and you can't even tap it.
You're like, it disappeared. You need your binoculars for it.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So the fast attacks for Pokemon Go are Extrasensory, Steel Wing, and Hidden Power. And then its charged attacks are Brave Bird, Fire Blast, Solar Beam. And then, of course, they just added Earthquake as well. So Pokemon Go did it justice, I think. Yeah. But like you mentioned, though, I've done plenty of raids where I've used my Ho-Oh. And 9 times out of 10, whatever I'm raiding, doesn't really matter what it is, it kind of goes down fairly quickly.
That's pretty much Pokemon in general. I think unless you're running, like, well, especially for Pokemon Go, because like the raid battles are so like lopsided, you know. Unless you're playing, you know, one or two star, you know, even versus Team Go Rocket, that is like you can bring all legendaries and you get wiped.
That is true. That is true. I the only ones I can defeat are the ones that I know I've fought before, that like I look for those particular ones, because those are like, I think it was Bellsprout Shadow and Poliwag Shadow. Those two I can beat. The rest of them, I don't even bother anymore. I'm like, if I see that, I'm like, screw it. I'm going to lose a Pokemon. I'm just going to move on. Like, I'm not wasting my, you know. Okay, so next up, and this, we always love these, it's the sprites. It's the little characters that we grew to love.
Yep.
From really crappy one-dimensional to the three-dimensional. So I got to ask you, what was your favorite sprite that you remember from Gold all the way to now?
Right, let me just say it's Gold. No, it's got that super cheesy, like standing bird.
The one that doesn't look like anything. It looks like a
really... I'd say, like, Omega Red and Ruby and Sapphire. Ruby, Sapphire, those ones.
Okay. I'm going to say X and Y only because I think I like the wings up and it kind of like shows him in mid-flight. So I like the fact that it shows like a bird being a bird, I guess. Sometimes the sprites look more like other animals than they're supposed to. And I'm like, that does not look like a bird. That looks like a dog. Like, you know, so I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like a plain, like basic sprite that you know what it is. You know what I mean? It's got a good image. You know, you don't have to worry about how many pixels it's got. It just looks like it from far away. Cause I mess with the perler beads every once in a while, usually for community days. Okay. So like this past one, I did CDOT, and it's like a fun game, like messing with the colors and trying to figure out which ones are going to match the shiny.
Okay.
And to be honest, I haven't done Ho-Oh yet. So like that might be something I try to get done.
Okay. All right. Well, when you figure it out, post it up. I'll share it out. Cause I want to see if you've got the colors connected.
Definitely.
Okay, so now onto some fun trivia. So, of course, we talked about beforehand. This was the first Gen 2 Pokemon ever to be shown in a Gen 1 cartoon. It's also the first legendary, not counting, though, if you talk about the intro, because the intro showed Mew and Mewtwo as the first Pokemon at the beginning of the show. So if you don't count the intro song, which, I mean, how can you not? That's like the classic everybody loves the song, right? Exactly.
It's always playing. I mean, I did just watch, you know, like, you know, I'm
in the bathroom brushing my teeth and I'm just like the songs in my head. I'm just like dancing, doing the whole like whatever.
My toothbrush actually plays it.
I got the toothbrush. I want that toothbrush. That's pretty cool.
Well, I just made it up, but I'm sure that there's a toothbrush out there that you can hook up, you know, and make that happen.
Damn you. No, I'm just kidding. So what's funny, though, is that when he opens up his Pokédex, it doesn't know what it is yet. So it's kind of like a nod to, we know what it is, but the cartoon is trying to be more, it's trying to be, you know, orderly. So it's like, ooh, it's a Pokémon. We know it's Ho-Oh. But Ash is like, what is that? So it's kind of a nice little, you know, most of the time they try to keep everything relatively correct. Doesn't work out all the time, but most of the time they might try to make everything correct.
Yeah. See, when I was a kid, I had like the VHS, I like recorded the first episode and I kept like pausing it every 2 seconds. Like, cause every time you hit pause, it would just move a little tiny frame. And I'm just like, what is this? I just keep pressing and pressing and it's just flapping its wings. And I'm just like, I don't know what it is. It's so cool.
I'm learning so much about you from just this episode right here.
Well, Pokemon's been with me forever. So. It's only
soon. And that is why you come on and do this, because you are the professor of said Pokemon. So there you go.
I know a little bit. I know a little bit. A couple of things.
A little bit. Okay, so for those who are grammar buffs, Ho-Oh's name is a palindrome. Palindrome is spelled forward and backward. So H-O-O-H, flip it around, it's H-O-O-H. There you go. Niantic or Nintendo playing with us there. Ho-Oh has the highest base special defense of all fire-type Pokemon and is tied with Lugia for highest defense special of flying-type. So that's kind of interesting, right? Because I know they're supposed to be polar opposites. Does that mean then in a fight they kind of would
cancel each other out? Yeah.
You know?
Because one's the protector of the skies and one's the protector of the seas. Yet Lugia is not a water type, but
it's just like Gyarados is a dragon but cannot fly. It's more of a giant eel, but
yeah,
there's no eel type apparently. So damn it, I don't know.
I know there's an Electros, but that's an eel.
Well, that's an eel, but he's a water type. They should just be Gyarados water type. I don't, you know. Actually, he probably is. I don't know anymore. Half of these things have changed. I don't know anymore. There's too many things to remember and memorize.
Right, it was so much simpler with like a couple types back then.
And here we are wanting more types, right? So we're like, ooh, let's invent new types. I'm like, no, let's not.
Well, TCG just took away fairy, and they rebalanced. Like they took away fairy, so there's no more fairy in the TCG. As far as Sword and Shield is concerned, like from start.
Oh, okay, got it.
They took it away. So all the fairy types have moved to psychic types, and all like the psychic types that would be poison are now dark types with like a weakness to grass, or a dark type's weak to grass, something like that. So it's, they're rebalancing the game. And instead of water Pokemon being weak to grass normally, now they're weak to lightning. So it's shifting the whole card game, but it's for the better. So
okay, fine. If it's for the better, I'll take your word for it then. All right, we're good. Okay, so last thing we kind of already brought up, we can go a little more into it. We saw that in, I think, one of the movies, Ho-Oh resurrected Entei, Suicune, and Raikou as the Phoenix it is. The move is actually called Regenerator, so I was wrong on that. It's a hidden ability, Regenerator. So, I mean, of the legendary, this one really is based off of a true cultural thing, I think. Not a lot of legendaries really match anybody. So does this just make it that? I mean, you've already explained, you love it, obviously.
But yeah, I'm a huge fan of, like, the whole Phoenix and the whole Phoenix, like, story. So it's, I like Ho-Oh more than Lugia.
That's okay. That's fine. I'm sure Lugia is
feeling. Even though I had Silver as my first, you know, of the second two games, and it was only because Delibird was in it. So, and then Delibird became my favorite Pokemon through that, and then I went and got Gold, and then played through that, and then Ho-Oh quickly became my favorite legendary to use.
And there's a story of his life, everybody. Congratulations. Yep. That's his biography. No, I'm just kidding.
When I was a wee lad.
All right, well then obviously, all right, so I think we actually covered most of the stuff here. So it seems like overall the card game and the anime and the Nintendo games, Ho-Oh is a force to be reckoned with for sure.
Exactly.
Now, obviously, you know, I'm biased. I want my shiny. I'm very mad I haven't gotten a shiny yet. I'm like, give me my damn shiny. But I have a couple. I think I have 5 Ho-Ohs in Pokemon Go. So,
you know. I have a bunch.
Huh?
I have a bunch. I have, I think, 1 shiny, but I have like one that's like a 96%. So I'm like, I'm a go-getter for the 100%. Like, that's what I want.
You know, I got lucky once. My shiny Charizard is 100%, but ever since that, I have not gotten 100% Pokemon ever. Like, I don't know why. I have not found.
You just got to catch everything, because that's usually when it happens. Like, I pulled up to the beach. I caught a Sparrow, and then I caught a Tentacool, and the Tentacool was 100%. And it's there were Pokemon that I didn't need. You know what I mean? I have 100% Tentacool already, so. I just clicked it and it happened. Same thing when I was at work one day, I clicked a Wurmple and it was like 43 CP and I was like, well, that's an easy catch. Turns out it was 100%. So I was like, nice. I don't have any luck with raids, but
a Caterpie for me, it'll be like, I'll get a Pidgey. It'll be 100%. I'll be like, yes, 100% Pidgey. Woohoo.
Hey, maybe I maxed mine out.
Shiny Pidgey. That'd be cool. Right.
I hatched a shiny Nidoran female. That is 100%.
Actually, that's hilarious you said that, because the other day I just caught my first Nidoran male shiny. Like, I was walking down the street.
No, me too. We just got done the episode where thou for our my poke. I don't know. I think it's where thou. I don't know what the exact name is. It was the episode where there's a boy Nidoran and a girl Nidoran, Tony and Maria. And like, I literally just caught it. It's in my recents. And it's like, I'm just going to nickname him Tony. It's hard to see, but.
So, but
he's missing a bow tie.
You have to name that one Maria, so you can have Tony and Maria together, living in your phone.
Exactly.
There we go. All right, guys. So thank you so much. I appreciate you for coming on. I think we got back on Friday as well. We're going to talk some more fun stuff too. I know you guys got episodes coming out all the time, so we're going to check you out.
We just had a TCG one released today of Special Conditions.
Oh, nice. Perfect. So if you guys haven't already, go check it out. We retweet each other all the time, so you guys can find him through my site as well. I've got you tagged on.
And anything we do is PokemonProfessorNetwork.com, so.
Perfect. All right, guys. So hope everybody is having fun. I know a lot of people are still stuck at home, so we're having some fun because it gets boring when you're like talking to the walls. You're like, I have no people to talk to now. So it's life, whatever. All right, guys. So I hope you guys had fun. Please, everybody, stay safe, stay healthy, stay nerdy. And of course, hope everybody over there is having good. And until next time, enjoy. Bye, guys.